Hey, this is George.
And this is Sarah.
And we are
Talking Messy,
where tough love meets compassionate honesty.
We may be 0% politically correct, but we're 100% emotionally intentional. So here's what.
So I really love my alone time. I really, really love being alone.
Yeah, this is a new thing for me, actually, over the last, like, year or two. Somewhere in my 40s, I started to learn about embracing my alone time. It's like a new hobby.
And see, with you, it's a little more difficult. Because me, I live alone. Sharing that with the interwebs.
Dear interwebs, go rob Sarah's house. She's not at home.
Right? So, you know, I live alone. I love my space. I'm finally in an apartment that has so much character, and I love it. And so it's just kind of like my cozy home. And I feel really good there. But more than that, I just enjoy being with myself. And I think that's something that a lot of people struggle with, is when they're alone, they have to face themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not always easy to do.
That's why I had to make it a hobby. Just in my 30s, I made relaxing a hobby. People, what's your hobby? Relaxing. And they'd laugh. And I'm like, no, I'm serious. Because I'm like a kind of a high-strung person where I might seem somewhat placid on the outside. And then once you get to know me, that you start to see that there's a lot.
There's some gremlins in there. Running around.
Shit's getting real over here, right? So I had to practice at it. I could do it for short times. But I couldn't be alone and quiet for a long time either.
Mm-hmm.
Alone listening to music, sure. And I still love that. I'm like the dancing in my pantsies girl at home.
And there's nothing wrong with, you know, at least filling the air.
Right.
You know, with a TV on or music or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
A podcast.
Yeah, a podcast is great to listen to.
But, yeah, when you do get that silence, again, it's that reality of looking at yourself. It's like, okay, now I don't know what to do with myself. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, we do have to face kind of the bad side of things of, you know, well, what should I be doing right now?
Yeah.
I think I still kind of struggle with that whenever I'm alone. I'm like, okay, sometimes I should probably do some things.
I know. Sometimes I use that to my advantage, and I go in and I'm like, well, I'll take a shower. And before I take the shower, I want to like vacuum the bathroom because there is some cat litter or something. And so I go, oh, I should probably clean the sink too. So I end up like cleaning the whole bathroom before I take the shower, and which is fine because I get all like, I'm scrubbing the wall and shit and I'm all sweaty. And then the next thing I know, an hour has gone by and I'm like, have been able to really just focus on a lot of nothing and feel my zen. And what starts out as maybe avoidance ends up as me just physically engaging.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that if I physically engage in something, that I don't get so lost in my head and spiraling into like negative thoughts and stuff.
Right. And, you know, there are some people who can enjoy their alone time, you know, sitting and binging Netflix or whatever. Mm-hmm. And some people who...
Well, that's not a... Is that alone time?
Well,
I have other people there with me in that.
Well, I mean, if you don't...
I have a rich interior life. As far as I'm concerned, they're in the fucking room.
But I think some people do have that need to accomplish something and to do something. And so alone time can take on like this whole other meaning to them. Mm-hmm. Of it's productive. You know, mm-hmm. It's my productive time because I don't have... you know, my partner around, I don't have kids, I don't have whatever, you know, and so I can get things done. And that's what I want to do in my alone time, because that makes me feel good when I accomplish things. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. You're at least finding a way to be alone with yourself.
Right. And then before I get all cleaned up and stuff, after sweating from house cleaning and stuff, that's when you can get out the spoon and get in the fridge and eat all the snacks that people are like, ooh, that's gross. And you're like, why are you putting in hot sauce and cottage cheese? Like, I don't understand you. And you just go for it. And you're like, your like secret behaviors that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Staring at the pores or rolling around, jumping on the bed, or all the things that people do. Mm-hmm. When they're alone.
Yeah. sing wildly off key.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah. All kinds of things. But
before I didn't make it a priority.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I don't know that it necessarily needs to be a priority for everyone. But there are people who really, really struggle being alone. And will often refer to themselves as being needy. I don't like that term needy because we all need people. Mm-hmm. I mean, we as humans are social beings. I don't care how socially awkward or introverted you are. We are all social beings.
We're herd animals.
Yes. And, and we want to be with other people. And some people really have difficulty not having people there. I know we have a mutual friend who brought this up the other night about, you know, I'm that person who is texting constantly or whatever, just trying to have this connection because they don't like being alone. And
or then you have somebody like AG, our editor, who really thrives on sociability and enjoys it, but it saps a lot of energy.
Right. And I'm a lot the same way. I call myself an ambivert because I can be extroverted. I can go out. I can be social. I'm learning more and more to do so, you know, because I do have my own business and I am trying to network. And so I'm putting myself out there more. But if I'm in a group of people, I'm in a crowd one night, I may have to take the next day to be with myself and kind of regroup. And, you know, I don't see anything wrong with that because, again, I enjoy my alone time.
Right.
Now, for super extroverted people, that can be difficult.
I think he put it in the way to figure out the introvert-extrovert thing, even though I think they just manifest in different ways. But it's not so much in the behavior. He says it's more about, what do you need to recharge?
Right. Where do you draw your energy from? Do I draw my energy from staying at home and kind of hermiting for a little while? Or do I draw my energy from being around people and the energy of others? And I think that's a really good way to look at it. And, you know, another thing that was brought up that same night was nobody, and I don't want to say nobody, but there rarely do you find somebody who is a strict extrovert or a strict introvert. It's a spectrum, and you know, it just kind of depends on what your needs are at the time.
Right. Like, I generally think of myself as somewhat aloof in a weird way and a little bit shy, but I know that in general, I am extroverted. I am very outgoing.
You can talk to anybody.
Yeah. And I do draw energy off of dealing with other people generally as being like a helper type.
You say dealing.
Dealing with other people. Yeah. Part of the conversation, one of the girls said, I fucking hate people, but I have to be around them. And I went, ding, 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 ding. Oh, my gosh. We have a winner. Like, we all go, I'm socially awkward. I'm not good with people. Nobody's good with people.
Right.
Like, everybody thinks I'm good with people, and I go, whatever.
And I will say that, you know, the social awkwardness has come up a lot.
Oh, my gosh. Victim.
Yeah.
Let's piss people off. Go ahead.
I don't want to piss people off, but I will say that just because you're uncomfortable going out and meeting people and socializing, that does not mean that you are necessarily socially awkward. It does not necessarily mean you are an introvert.
And it doesn't give you an excuse to whine about it.
It's just being uncomfortable with something. And, you know, we see a lot of times on some of the Facebook groups that we're both in, you know, how do I meet people? And then inevitably, there's always one person at least who goes,
leave the house.
Yes. And it's like, get out and do things. And they're like, oh, but I'm socially awkward.
Guess what? I am too. Here's what. Like, it manifests in me as verbal diarrhea and TMI and things like that and doing weird things and saying weird things. But sometimes that makes people kind of go, what is going on?
But a lot of times it's endearing. It makes you human.
I'm very charming when I run into shit and dump coffee on myself and say fuck a lot and go, oh my God. Holy shit, I can't believe I'm fucking swearing. You know, and the humanity comes out. And I think that it puts people at ease in a weird way of thinking, okay, she's not going to think I'm a dork because she's obviously insane.
Right. It's relatable. That's the thing.
That's like, it.
You are now relatable.
My insanity is relatable.
Because I think to a degree, most of us feel socially awkward. And it's like, holy shit, you're human too.
Mm-hmm. So I have gotten to the point where it is frustrating for me when people use that as an excuse. Or, as I said, when they use it as an excuse, well, I'm really quiet. There's a difference between being quiet and putting all the pressure on somebody else to carry a conversation.
Yes.
Go on. I see that look. Ooh, go.
I know. No, so I feel the need to apologize to you because I feel like I do this a lot.
Meh.
But you're the outgoing one, and so I just kind of like tag along of like, introduce me to people and like do the talking and the stuffs because...
That's fine, because once I turn you loose, you go for it.
And I'm very much an observer, and so when you do introduce me to somebody, and, you know, you give me, like, because you do the thoughtful introductions, and you give me a little information to go on, I can kind of take over from there to a degree. Like, sometimes I'm still like, I don't know what to say, and I'm going to sit back and still, like, observe a little bit more, and maybe
but
not
But I accept that in. As my role to sort of be... Spark Plug, the catalyst of doom. That is my superhero name. Like, where it's, I am generally a catalyst for people to interact.
Mm-hmm.
Then take some of the pressure off after that.
Right.
Don't just do the yes and no and nodding and all that.
As I'm nodding.
Yeah, as you're nodding. But like you said, I might tell you what they do or some interest that they have that I know that you guys could find interesting about each other.
Right.
And then I walk off.
Mm-hmm.
And go.
Right. Yeah. And for me, that helps. For other people, that may be, like, terrifying. Mm-hmm. And I do get that. And it's like, now I'm stuck in a conversation, and I don't know how to get out of this. Mm. So I think, really, when you look at alone time and being alone and how do you handle it, my biggest thing is get to know yourself and value yourself and know what you need to be comfortable being alone, whether it is I have to be productive or else, you know, the gremlins are going to get me.
You had to teach me about your alone time.
Mm.
You really helped me in that and saying no to me and no, I'm hermiting and no.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to learn how to back off on certain people, especially if I'm seeing somebody and they don't want to go out and not making it about me and not taking it personally if they want to be alone.
I saw a glance too.
Yeah. Or asking to have the house to myself because I don't personally need as much alone time as some people. Sometimes I need a huge block of it for like a whole day or two. But other people are more than happy to just like have it.
White nerd is the good example of that.
And he's really good with alone time in that we can have alone time together.
Right. I love when you tell me, like, we're, like, in the same room and we're texting each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sending each other ridiculous cat memes and stuff like that.
Right.
Like, that's great.
And this is, like, a new technological thing that is ridiculous at the outset, but also if you use it in a proper way, like that where you can communicate without having to vocalize things, without him having to hear my voice constantly and being, like, the face hole keeps moving.
Mm-hmm.
Where he can watch his YouTubes and go, oh, look at this. And the occasional interjection where we can have that. And then, you know, we might do that for an hour or two and then cook dinner together and be talking the rest of the time.
And I think learning to thrive in silence is a very important thing for relationships. Is you don't have to keep the mouth hole moving all the time.
Right.
Like you don't have to do that.
You don't even have to be texting during that time. You can be wandering around the house doing your own thing.
Mm-hmm. And people are very uncomfortable with silence. I mean, there are a lot of people who are. Mm-hmm. And I find that a really great tool in practice, you know, when I have someone sitting in front of me and, you know, I'm not getting a whole lot out of them, I will prompt with something and then I sit in silence. And it was a hard skill for me to learn. But it's been so beneficial. I hear things from clients who are like, I've never told anybody that before because they needed to fill that space. They needed to fill that silence.
Sometimes I ask actors that question when we have a play that has a slower pace, and I'm directing them and I'm telling them, don't be afraid, the line will still be there when you get to it.
Right.
I ask them, what is it you're saying when you're silent?
Mm-hmm.
Especially during somebody else's monologue or something like that. And those things carry over to me at home. I guess a lot of acting lessons carry over to me in real life, where it's, what are you saying in silence?
Mm-hmm.
When you're having a conversation face-to-face with somebody, you're saying a lot with silence. There's so many other ways to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And needing alone time is a way to communicate, not just with yourself, but it communicates with others that you have boundaries, that you need to recharge, that, you know, you want to take care of yourself, that you respect yourself, mm-hmm. and you have priorities.
Or even, I need to get things done,
yeah.
you know, because sometimes we find it difficult, especially in relationships, and we have somebody around, we want to spend that time with them. And having the alone time gives you the ability to maybe get some things done, especially like when you're looking at like new relationships, for example. Mm-hmm. You want to be together and you want to enjoy your time together.
And they're a distraction. It's not always a bad distraction, but sometimes right. it can be overwhelming.
Right. And sometimes things get pushed aside because you want to spend the time. And I get that.
And the next thing you know, you have to like go buy new underpants because you haven't done laundry.
Right. Exactly. And so, I mean, I don't know that there's a huge takeaway from this one,
mm-hmm.
But just kind of learning how to be alone. I think mm-hmm. it's important for everybody because we are going to be alone at some point. I mean, everyone is, you know, whether your partner is out of town or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it may be, or you live alone like me. Mm-hmm. You spend all your time alone. Okay, not all my time.
No, not at all. Especially when I just like come over and randomly knock on your door.
Yeah.
Surprise! We're marauding. We're yeah. coming over. But, you know, it's learning how to do it. And like I said, it came naturally to you. For some of us, it doesn't. But so, we can learn. We can. I am living proof.
And I don't want to say that it came naturally to me. I made a decision when I turned 30 that because I had helped so many people for so long at the expense of myself, that my 30s were going to be my selfish years. Mm. And, you know, selfish gets such a negative connotation.
Yeah.
And it's not inherently negative.
No, it just is.
Right. And for me, it meant taking care of myself first. You know, mm-hmm. that's not to say I wasn't going to help people anymore. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm a therapist. Mm-hmm. That would destroy my business model if I didn't want to help people.
But it's also setting a good example, and it is taking care of yourself first so that you can take care of other people.
Exactly. And I learned that, you know, I don't know. I learned that somewhere along the way because it didn't start out that way. It was just, I'm tired. I'm tired mm-hmm. of putting myself out there with little to no return on mm-hmm. certain things, especially like in relationships. I said, you know, there for a while, it was like pretty much all of my exes are far more successful now than they were when we first met because I put a lot into them and mm-hmm. I encouraged them and supported them. And that was at the expense of myself. You know, it's like, where did that leave me? And so, again, I didn't want to stop helping people and stop doing things, but I learned to say no to the things I didn't want to do. And I learned to not jump when someone said, I need help, and say, okay, mm-hmm. but I'm going to do this on my timetable because I have things going on as well.
So I guess my takeaway is helping people includes helping yourself.
Absolutely.
Ta-da. What's the weirdest thing you do when you're alone?
Oh, God, the weirdest thing. Oh, I don't know.
Why can't I just not ask you questions and put you on the spot and just go, I don't know, let me pick top three or whatever.
I know. You were talking about, like, the weird food thing. Mm. I eat popcorn with, like, Louisiana hot sauce on it.
All right.
And that's, like, my weird thing. The other night, I was craving barbecue sauce so badly, and all I had was pretzels. And so I literally was dipping pretzels into barbecue sauce.
That's sounds kind of super good. Like that sounds like the night I had butterscotch chips and ate them with pretzels. Pretzels go with a lot of things, they people. Do.
Yes.
Dear pretzel people, we love you.
Yes.
Let's go eat some pretzels. Right. I know. It's always the food. All right. This is our sign off, and it's always going to be food. Let's go get pretzels.
Comments, questions, knock-knock jokes?
Shoot us an email, talkingmessy@gmail.com.
And that's my story.
The